Good evening, everyone, and welcome to today's service. Indeed, our God is greater than all. Our God is awesome in power. Our God is mighty indeed. Well, welcome to today's service. I would just like you to just feel welcome in the presence of this, of God, in the presence of His Spirit, even today as we share the word together. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you because indeed you are awesome. Indeed, you are God. Indeed, you reign over all. You are mighty indeed. You are not just a God that is specific to a task. You are God. You reveal and manifest yourself in diverse ways. You are the creator of all, the mighty one who sits in the heavens of the heavens and makes the earth its footstool. God Almighty indeed. And if you are for us, who can be against us? Indeed, you are our Lord. We give you all the praise. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to us today. It's your word. Let your word come alive in our hearts. Let it bring about transformation today. Teach us. Speak to us today. Let man not speak, Lord, but you speak, Lord, from your throne. Use me as a vessel, Lord, to be a blessing to everyone that will listen today. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Welcome to today's service again. You're all welcome. Pastor is not around today, and he has asked me to step in. And we just want to wish Pastor well. Just pray for him that as he is engaged on another meeting currently, that God will give him grace afresh. It would touch him. It will bless him, anoint him afresh, give him utterance like never before. In the name of Jesus. I just want to thank Lady Pastor also for the opportunity to be here. And we give God the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of us who have been joining since the beginning of March, we know we are talking about, the theme of the month is manifesting the presence of God. Manifesting the presence of God. And we're going to be digging deep into the word and just a very short exhortation to be able to get us going and just to teach and exhort us and open our eyes to ways by which we can manifest the glory of God. For those who joined the prayers, we pray normally at 6 o'clock. During the prayers, Pastor was talking about John chapter 8, verse 38. We don't need to display that. And John 5, 19. And he talked about the fact that Jesus only did what his Father did. He only did what he saw as a pattern in his Father. It's what God tells him to do that he does. And Pastor was talking about the fact that if you rebuke the devil, then you speak the word of God. And the question I asked myself while we're praying is, what if I don't know the word? What if I don't know the word? What would I say? And one of the things I wrote down here is, what I am full of is what I will manifest. What I have spent time on, what I have created, what I see to be worth my time is what I'm worshiping based on what Pastor taught us this evening. And that is what you would always manifest. So what's always on your heart? What is it that you're focusing on? That is what you manifest. It's just a quick summary. So something that was on my mind, different from what I wanted to talk about today. So we'll just go straight on into the Word of God. One of the things I've been learning, and I'm just sharing some of the things I've been learning. I believe everyone is learning, from that same thing, digging deep into the Word of God. Our walk with God is always inside out and never outside in. God always is particular about the work that is happening on the inside. He doesn't really focus on what is happening outside, on the things that are happening on the inside. And I want you to have a Selah moment there to say, what matters most to God is what is happening on my inside. I've been trying to meditate and just reminisce on the old birth. What happens when you want to form, when a baby is being formed in the womb, for the old birth. All of us were born through the old birth, the natural birth. And one of the things that caught my attention is the fact that the first organ, I mean, I'm not sure if the doctors online can probably testify to this, the first organ that starts to form and starts to indicate the sign of life is the heart. It's the first one that actually starts to beat. They said the heart starts to beat from about 5 weeks, and it continues to beat throughout the lifetime of that human being. And also we could see that as a body of Christ, as Love Assembly, when God started dealing with us at the start of the pandemic, the first thing he dealt with was our heart. So for you to manifest God in this season, the first prerequisite is the condition of your heart, is the state of your heart. If you did not take that course in 2020, or maybe you skipped it in 2020, 2021 on the heart, then you need to go back, because if you look at Jeremiah 17:10, he said, "The Lord searches the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." That caught my attention. So he doesn't test the man's deeds. He goes on to test the man's heart. So what he wants to reward is the deeds. But the first thing he goes on to see is the motivation behind that deed. Before he repays that deed, he looks first at the heart. He tests the mind. He tests the thought process. And if you look at Matthew 23 from verse 25 to 26, which we dealt with in 2020, I'm just going back for those who probably were not part of Love Assembly then, just to be able to set the foundation for what we are manifesting. Because the first step, before we can manifest the presence of God, God is particular about the heart. God is not outside in. He doesn't look at the deeds, then go from the deeds into the heart. It looks from inside out. If you look at when Jesus was talking, he said, "You shall serve the Lord with the whole of your heart." It was the heart first, before he stepped onto the might and to the strength. He talked about the heart. That's the first prerequisite. If we fail in the place, in the inner, in that hidden place, then what happens is we fail. Because like I talked about the natural birth, the heart is the first one that starts to beat. Also in the second birth, when we become born again, is the heart that is first of all dealt with. The heart is first of all dealt with. That's what matters the most. Even though the heart starts to beat, so far it continues to beat, other organs continue to form. Other things start to come together. Growth starts to go on. But the heart has to be right, and it has to come alive. So if your heart is still not right, go back to Psalm 51 from verse 10. And it says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit." Because it is those whose hearts are right with God that can manifest the presence of God. God, like I'll say again, God does not judge from outside in. It is only human beings that does that and that do that. They look at you from outside and they make a conclusion about you. God looks at the inside. He looks at the motivation. He searches the heart. The word of God is intelligent. It searches everywhere. It can understand your frailties. And it looks at what is going on in your mind, in your heart. And then it takes a decision. So in Matthew 23 from 25 to 26, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also." So laying that same foundation again, to manifest the presence of God, it starts from the heart. Inside out, never outside in. With God, it starts from inside. But one of the things, I mean, like I said, I was meditating on the natural birth, and I was also trying to compare also with the spiritual birth, which is when we become born again, when we become quickened in Christ, when the light of God comes to us. Like I said, the first thing that God does is that it gives us a clean heart and renews a right spirit within us. It renews a right spirit within us. For those who may want to go on and study on that, we did a lot of series over about 3 or 4 months in 2020 and 2021 on the heart. I would advise that you go on and you just dig deep into that, because if you have not dealt with the heart, every other thing that we do, every other sacrifice should be wrong. But the second thing that caught my attention is after the heart has been beating for a while, then something forms which allows the growing baby to be able to collect resources from the womb, from the mother, to be able to grow. And that's the umbilical cord that is connected, and through it, it gets all the resources, everything continues to go on. And an analogy for me, just meditating and getting set for today's meeting, is the fact that after my heart has been renewed, I need to be connected to the Word of God. I need to be connected in Christ, connected to Christ. And one of the ways to be connected to Christ, it says that we should abide in the vine. John 15, he said that we should abide in him, that he is the vine. And if you look at Ephesians 1, it said that God predestined us. I think I'll just like us to just read that 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 1 to 6. It said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, that will be holy and blameless before him. God chose us in Christ. That means our position, the men's fellowship have been studying the book of Ephesians, and we understand that the first thing that you do is to be seated in him, because he said he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that will be blameless. He said in love he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So everything that we do is in Christ. When we step out of Christ, that is when we step out of that glory. We step out of that place of authority. And it's that connection that allows that growth to continue, that allows that heart to continue to beat, that allows other parts to continue to form. And slowly that child continues to grow, and it continues to grow, and it grows into a place of maturity. But it has to be in Christ. What God predestined us to do is to be in Christ. He made us to be in Christ. Once we step out of Christ, we step out of him. And the essence of that being in Christ is when we tarry on the word of God. When we tarry right on the word of God. I'll just quickly read John 1. It was talking about who Christ is. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we continue to, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has not been that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Darkness cannot grasp it. Amen. So, like I was saying, after the heart has been renewed and we start to beat, what happens is we need to stay connected and deep in the Word of God. You know, one analogy that I got here is a lot of us as Christians, when we become renewed, the first thing we want to do is to start to work for God. What we want to do is to start. We want to run. We don't want to sit and dwell and persist on the Word. We just want to start to work. So imagine if the heart starts to beat and it's just the heart that has life and light. And then the heart now wants to start to run, to start to do work. What would happen is it cuts itself off from Christ. It cuts itself off from the source. It cuts itself off from the womb where God is forming at the moment. And then what happens is he goes on his own. He starts probably his own ministry. He starts probably his own work, but it becomes useless in the hands of God. Because if you look at what Christ said, he said, some will say, I cast out demons in your name. It's a sign of the fact that even though their heart started beating, the person did not stay on the Word. He did not understand what would go on, the culture. He did not understand the will of God for him. He just went on and started working. And one of the things that I ask myself is, when you start a job, a new job, one of the first things they do, be it one day, be it a week, for some who are really, really good, they spend the first 3 years on a graduate training program where you just sit and you learn the modus operandi of the company. You just sit, you just tarry, you learn the processes, you learn what is going on, even before you start to represent the company. But a lot of us, when we come into the things of the Spirit, we just want to become a Christian today, just continue working, but we don't want to know the culture. We don't want to know God's will. We don't want to understand Him through the Word, through the Scriptures. And the Bible makes us to understand that the Word is living, is active, is a discerner of thoughts. It knows what you need to do. It can teach you. It gives you counsel. It gives you wisdom. But you have to tarry in the place of the Word. And that's what makes us to fall short in manifesting the glory of God. So we get the first prerequisite very well. But what the enemy always wants us to do is to start to do rather than sitting in the place of authority, sitting in the secret place with Christ. Like I said at the beginning, our walk with God is always inside out, but never outside in. Never outside in. Now, why do we need to sit in Christ? Why do we need to sit in Christ? Because remember, we want to manifest the presence of God. And the only way you can manifest your presence of God, like I said, is number one, you have your heart renewed. And then you sit in the place of the Word and prayer. You sit in Christ fully. If you read Hebrews 1, in Hebrews 1 verse 3, it said, I'll start probably from verse 1. It said, God, after he spoke long to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. And in, he said, after he spoke to the long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And now in verse 3, he's talking about Christ. He said, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And if you remember in Ephesians 2:6, it says that we are seated in Christ. Ephesians 1 stated the position of Christ. It said he's seated far above all principalities and powers at the right hand of God. And that's what Hebrews is also saying. He said, when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited and a more excellent name than they. So why do I need to sit on the Word? Why do I need to tarry in Christ? Why do I need to be connected to the vine? Because if I want to manifest God, God ordained, if that Ephesians 1 said that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ, and he said he predestined us to be in Christ before the foundation of the world, He predestined us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he now said in this Hebrews 1 verse 3, he said, Christ is the radiance and the glory and the exact representation of his nature. So if I want to reflect the exact representation of God, I have to be in Christ. And how do I be in Christ? How can I be in Christ? Is when I dig deep with the help of the Holy Spirit on the word of God. When I meditate, if you remember the charge that we got at the beginning of the year, he said, be strong. But one of the ways that he said Joshua should be strong and should be courageous is by meditating on the word of God. Day and night, in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, when the person is blessed, when the person is not blessed, day and night, for him to meditate on that word. And that's what really makes us to be strong. That's what makes us to manifest that which God wants us to do. I'll read Colossians 2 from verse 9. It said, for in him all the fullness of the deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. He is the head over every ruler and authority. He said, in him, if you go back again he said, for in him all the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. And verse 10, he said, it's in him that we've been made complete. He's the head over every ruler and authority. Outside of Christ, we are incomplete. It's in Christ that God predestined salvation. It's in Christ that God adopted us as sons and daughters to his own glory. Outside of Christ, there's nothing. It's just to lay the foundation for the manifestation of the presence of God. Because if we don't get the heart right, and if we are not planted in Christ, whatever we are doing is just with our own strength. It is just us trying to manifest ourselves and not the glory of God. And that is why Christ said that some will come to me at the end of the day and say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did great works in your name. And they will say, I never knew you. Because the place of knowing God is when you spend time with him. In Mark chapter 3, he said, he appointed the disciples to come to be with him. They were first with him before he sent them out. There's a place where you spend time with God. We spend time first with God before you go on to manifest the glory of God. I'll just try to run quickly. And the second reason, we said Christ is the fullness, is the manifestation of God in bodily form. And because we are in Christ, we are meant to be the manifestation of God. We are meant to be the fullness of the manifestation of God in bodily form. So I am meant to carry the same glory as Christ carries. Because if you say something is in something, that means when you see me, what you should be seeing really is Christ. Because I am hidden in Christ. I am infused in Christ. You are meant to be infused in Christ, that when someone encounters you, they encounter Christ. And what that means is that they're encountering the fullness of the manifestation of God in bodily form. And if you look at the Old Testament, God revealed himself in diverse ways. He first of all started by revealing himself as God Almighty. In Exodus chapter 6, he then revealed himself to the Israelites as the Lord. And then he revealed himself as a judge. He revealed himself as different things at different times. What it means is that the fullness of what God revealed all through the scriptures dwells in me because I am in Christ. If I'm not exhibiting any aspect of it, then I need to check. Am I fully in Christ? Have I submitted that aspect of my life to Christ? Or am I still holding on to it? If I'm fully planted in Christ, then I'm meant to reveal the fullness of God. And if you look at John 10, when Jesus was talking at the feast of dedication, if you look at verse 29, he was talking about the fact that the sheep knows him. If you read from verse 22, he talks about the fact that he knows his sheep and the sheep knows his voice. But in 29, that's the key area where I want to go to. He said, my Father who has given them to me. And he's talking about the Father who has given us to him. If you read in that Ephesians 1, he said, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters in him, in Christ. So here he was saying, he said, the Father who had given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. He now said something in verse 30, which is very key. He said, I and the Father, we are one. In this place, this was the first place where initially what shocked the Israelites was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They've known God, the different aspects of God. They feared God. They knew every aspect, but they never knew God as the Father. They never understood the concept of God the Father. And that was what Jesus came to introduce to us, God the Father. And then Jesus introduced them that concept that he and God, that they are one. And then if you read down in the verses, he said, but the Old Testament talked about the fact that you are gods, but you die like mere men. And the reason why they died like mere men was lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of understanding, lack of understanding. So here he's talking about Christ is the same as God. So the fullness of God is in Christ. So that means if I am in Christ, I carry the fullness of God. And I want you to think about that. If I am in Christ, I am the fullness, the complete representation of the image of God. But the prerequisite is if I am in Christ. Because the first job that is done when I'm in Christ is I receive a new heart and I receive the Holy Spirit, which is the right spirit within me. And then I remain in Christ. I remain in Christ. And why remain in Christ? Because ultimately what God wants us to do is to become conformed to Christ, for us to keep each day. Like I said earlier on in Hebrews 4, from verse, I think it's 18, he said, the word of the Lord is living, is active. The word of the Lord is quick, is sharper than every two-edged sword. It's a discerner of thoughts. So the word of God is wise. The word of God can cut, it can shape, it can create, it can open doors, it can close doors. The word of God can pay the rent. The word of God can create a job role for you. The word of God can pay the bills. The word of God can heal the sick. The word of God can create a new organ. The word of God can do all things. It can cut, shape, mold us, cut away the dark part of us, separate light from darkness. The word of God is quick, is powerful. It's God himself. And he said, what he ordained was for us to be conformed to Christ. To be conformed to Christ. If you look at Romans 8:28, he said, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, so that Christ will be the firstborn among the brethren. For those whom he foreknew, he knew us, Ephesians 1, like we read before, said he knew us before the foundation of the earth. Then he set us up to become conformed to his image. And that's the journey. That's the whole journey of Christianity. That's the whole journey of our lives. After we become born again, after a new heart starts to beat and life starts to come, we start to form. And what we are forming now is in conformance to what Christ is. The old man died, and then a new heart starts to beat. The old way of thinking died. The old system, whatever it is that you have known before Christ, died. But how do you come to the fullness of this? Like I said before, it's by sitting and digging deep on the word of God. If you are ignorant of the word of God, the enemy will be able to take advantage of you. Even though we have been predestined as sons and daughters, But if we don't have a knowledge of that word, we become recipes for the destruction of the enemy. We become recipes for the lies of the enemy. It starts to tell us something that God has not told us. When we take our focus away from God, when we take our focus away from Christ, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we take away our eyes from Christ, from where God has planted us, and our focus is no longer on the word, when we are ignorant of what God has done, what that redemption, I think, just to go back again, that redemption redeemed us right from the foundation of the earth when God planned it, was for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. He said, let us make man in our own image. But if you do not know, there's no way you can manifest it. If you have not spent time, if you look at what Christ did, Christ would go into the synagogue and he will open up the book and refer to the place where they have written something about him. Now, I'm going to ask a question, just a subtle question. You don't need to answer it. Just reflect on it. What have you read that was written about you in the Word of God? Because for all of us, God made provisions available for us in his Word, in Christ, in his Word. So can you lay hold on the place and say with authority, like Christ will say with authority in the synagogue, and will read a particular verse, and he will say, this is the fulfillment of what God has said. If you do not know the word of God, you would not know what was written about you. Now, the reason why God told Joshua to meditate on it, on the word day and night, is so that Joshua might be able to know and have that strength and courage from the word of God. Because what happens when you take your heart away from the meditation on the word of God is fear starts to creep in. We start to meditate on the news. We start to meditate on what somebody said to us at work. We start to meditate on what our spouse said yesterday. We start to meditate on every other thing that is not the truth. They look real. They look like as if they are facts, but they are not true. The truth is in the word of God. Once you take your eyes off the word, once you take your eyes off Christ, what happens is you start to focus on what the so-called facts, which are lies. And what happens, or at the end of the day, is you become completely cut off from Christ. And the enemy that we are fighting is a very good one. The distractions that he brings to us, they are of genuine concerns. He will bring distractions that are genuine. Maybe a growth is on your body. It will let you understand the fact that that growth, the impact of it, the doctors will explain it to you. They will tell you what will happen in the next few months. If the bills come, he will speak to you about the bills. But if you never knew God as a shepherd who makes provisions for his own children, you would believe what he's saying to you. He will speak to you about your spouse. When your spouse reacts in a way, he will speak. But once he starts to speak, like what he did for Eve in the garden, it's a sign that you have shifted your focus away from the word of God. Can we turn our hearts back to God by focusing on his word? What did he say? What is written in the word of God concerning me? What is written? Let's go in the word, into the word, not just to read stories, but to learn more about Christ. And when we say Christ, because we know we are planted and we are seated in Christ, we know that the word that is being spoken is about us. Can we go on and speak with confidence and personalize the word of God? For those who are just joining us, we're talking about manifesting the presence of God. And one of the things we said is the first prerequisite for manifesting the word of God is our heart. Is your heart right? God works from inside out, never from outside in. And then the next stage after the heart has been dealt with is, are you connected to the word of God? Are you connected to God? God cares about these things before you start to work or walk for God. God ordained us, like I said before, to be conformed to his image. To be conformed to his image. I was asking myself some questions. I said, you can only teach with the authority that Christ taught and cast out demons with the authority with which he cast them out when you know who your father is, when you know the tribe that you belong to, when you know the kingdom that you now belong to. For a lot of us, we have no understanding of the kingdom. The only knowledge of the word of God that we hear is when we come from the Bible study. And I used to be like that. The only things I knew were the things I just learned on a Sunday to Sunday basis. I was telling someone recently, I think it was my wife, or I can't remember, that the times when I would dust my Bible, when I was probably in uni and all of that, is only on Sundays. It was only on Sundays. And most times I might not even open it on Sundays. So all I knew was what was being passed to me through the mouth of the speakers. And I want all of us to ascend past that level to that place where you have a personal relationship with God. Lady Pastor would always say something. He said that what the desire is for everyone to have a personal relationship with God. So the question is, do you have a personal relationship with the Word of God? That's the sign of your personal relationship with God. Do you have a personal relationship with the Spirit of God? Do you have a personal relationship? Can you declare with authority what God has done for you? He said, you will be witnesses of me in Judea and in Samaria. But the truth is, that was Christ telling his disciples. The truth is, you can only be a witness of something that you have experienced. And that's why we've not been worthwhile witnesses when we go into the world, when we interact at our places of work. That's why we've not been able to effectively be good witnesses, because some of the witnessing that we do are not things that we have touched, not things that we have experienced, not things that we have dealt with on our own. And that used to be me. And that's still me in some areas. And that's why I keep praying. And I'm praying for everyone who is connected today, that we will continue to grow deeper and deeper and deeper in the knowledge of the will of God. That we will come to a place of understanding. That the eyes of our heart will become enlightened. That the word of God will become life to us. It will not just be something that we hear on Sundays and on Thursdays, but would relate with it. It will become life to us. It will transform our thinking. It will transform the way we talk. Because once you are full of something, that's what you start to manifest. It is what you are full of that you can manifest. If you have not been filled with the word of God, if you have not been filled with the Spirit of God, there's no way you can manifest it. It's not something you can copy and paste. Like the sons of Sceva went around and were trying to cast out the demons. They had not experienced, they have not sat down on the Word of God. They saw what Paul was doing and they wanted to copy it. And sometimes we do it. Imagine if you've not been trained, you're a nuclear scientist, you've not been trained, and they just throw you right into the middle of the job. Of course, what would happen is we'll cause some safety incidents on the job. You have to, when it says the word of God is a two-edged sword, you have to know how to use the sword. You just don't give a sword to a child. It's a mature man, someone who has experienced and dealt with it, that can make use of it. I'll just quickly try to tie together what I'm talking about today. And for those who are just joining us, I'm just talking about digging into the Word of God, just spending time, just tarrying there, asking the Spirit of God to be able to help you to understand the Word of God. Knowing Christ is what makes us manifest Him, knowing Him. And it's not just about us knowing Him, is about also Him knowing us, having a relationship. Because if you look at those who said they cast out the demons in His name, He said, I did not know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It is about a relationship. The only way for you to be able to manifest God fully, that it will be of benefit to us, that will not end up at the end of time, and Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, is when there's a relationship. And there's a relationship, not when I know someone, but when the person also knows me. It's a two-way. So I may lay claim to the fact that I know the prime minister. I see him on TV every time. He's the prime minister of the country, but he doesn't know me. So I don't have a relationship with him. So even though I could have listened to all of his messages, I could probably verbatim say what he said yesterday at the House of Commons, because I don't have a relationship with him. He doesn't know me. I can't lay claim to knowing him. So even though I could quote everything he said, I could write a piece in the newspaper concerning what he said, he doesn't know me. And that's the situation that we find ourselves sometimes as Christians. Do you know Christ? Does Christ know you? Do you have a relation, a one-on-one personal relationship with God? In the spiritual realm, faith is the currency of the spirit. Faith is the currency of the spirit. And it comes based on knowledge. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes by knowledge. It comes by hearing, by hearing and hearing again. Faith does not come by ignorance. What creates a lot of fear in us is ignorance, us not knowing where we are placed in Christ. Faith comes by knowledge. And knowledge comes by sitting and tarrying on the word. On the word. You sit on the word. You meditate on it. And if you look at what when Paul was praying in Philippians 3:9, he said, I'll probably start from 8. He said, more than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, or whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish, as mere rubbish, so I may gain Christ. And may be found in him. That's very key, to be found in him, not outside of him. Like I said before, it has to be inside Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Some other verses says, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. If you see here, Paul was just saying that all that he wants to do is just to know him, to know the power of his resurrection. Because if you can understand that new birth, if you can understand that when Christ redeemed us, that what he did was that he gave us power to be like him, to be equal to him, to become sons and daughters, formed and conformed to his image, to become adopted as sons and daughters in Christ to the glory of God, where we become the manifest representation of the presence and the glory of God on earth, then some of the things that we do, we run around about, some of the things we fight about, we'll stop doing it. It's that knowledge of his will. It's that knowledge of that new birth, that kingdom of light that we've been called into. And I pray today for every one of us that is here, everyone that is asking, how do I just dig deep into the word of God? That the Spirit of God will speak to you. The Spirit of God would help you even in this season. Would help you to be able to stay on that word. Help you to give you understanding, and it will give you that knowledge of his will, even in this season, in the name of Jesus. I wrote down here, I said, tarrying on the word and prayer is equal to being filled with the Spirit. And I'll just take two verses that Paul was talking about and just take some bits about it. If you look at Ephesians 5, 18 to 21, he said, and do not be drunk with wine, or for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit, not the Spirit of God. Speaking, which is the Spirit of God, really. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To God, even to the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, that's in Ephesians 5:18. If you look at it, it said, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms. If you go on to look at something that looks like an analog of that, like close to that, that Paul wrote in his letter, he was talking about in Colossians 3 from verse 15 to 18. He said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you have been called in one body, and be thankful. From verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You could see that I was talking about them speaking to one another in psalms. In one side, it talked about the fact that they should be filled with the Spirit. And in the other side, it was talking about the word of God filling them richly, filling their hearts richly, which gives us an understanding that what Paul was trying to talk about there is that one of the key ways for you to be filled with the Spirit is for you to tarry on the word. And if we stay on that word of being filled with the Spirit, I was listening to someone who gave an analogy. He said that if I am drunk today, filled with wine today, and you see me display whatever it is that I display, if I don't drink tomorrow, I won't be drunk. I'll be normal. And I want you to just think about that. If I drink so much today, and I'm so high today, and I'm not normal today, if I don't drink tomorrow, I will not, because I'm not filled with wine, I will not have that spirit that comes from drinking wine. And it's the same with the Word of God. It's not something that you dig in for a while, then you take time off. Because once you take time off, once you are no longer filled with that spirit, once you are no longer filled, what happens is the effect is gone. You are meant to continually. That was why he told Joshua, meditate on it day and night. The law that God gave to the kings of Israel, I mean, when he was going to ordain them as kings, he said that they should copy the law and they should read it every day for the rest of their lives. So that means when you copy the book of the law, you start to read on it, you start to read it today, then you read it tomorrow, then you read it day after tomorrow, you finish the Bible, okay, good luck, thank you, then you read it again tomorrow, and then day after tomorrow you read it again, and then you tarry on it again. The same Ephesians that you've been reading for the past 10 years since being a Christian, tomorrow again you'll read the same Ephesians. Pastor has been teaching us that the same Psalm 23 that you read 20 years ago when you became a Christian, you read it again. And that's where we become filled every day. That is where we become filled. That's where we take away room. We build up faith. That's where we do not make room for fear. We do not make room for the works of the flesh. Staying on the word of God. Being filled continually with the word of God. Is the word everyone? It is the word. The Bible says that we are seated in high places, far above all principalities and powers. The depth that we go on with, that we end up with in Christ, is as much as we can dig into the Word of God, as much as we can be filled with the Word richly and filled with the Spirit of God. There's no limitation in Christ. There's no limitation in God. But how much of time can you spend digging on the Word of God? And remember, the Word of God is not just letters. The Spirit of God is there to be able to bring to pass the things that are written. The word of the Lord is living, is active. The word of the Lord has wisdom. It thinks, it knows that you need to eat tomorrow. It has an understanding that you have children and there's a need for provision for them. The word of God knew before you came here that you'd be at Liverpool. He made room for the job that you do, the place you would live. He thought about you when he made the builders to start to build your house. The word of the Lord is great. He made, if you read that Ephesians 1 again, he said he predestined us to adoption. If you read ahead before that place, he said he chose us before the foundations of the earth. Before the foundations of the earth. So even before you even understood that you were going to be made, before your heart started to beat, the word of God chose you. He knew you ahead of time. He positioned you in Liverpool. He didn't make a mistake. For someone who may be thinking, who may be struggling, who may be wondering about what would tomorrow hold, I've got a good news for you. God knew you before you even knew yourself. God made a plan for you before you could ever understand it. But you need to understand what God has done for you. You need to know it in the word. You need to sit on it. You need to speak it. You need to prophesy it. You need to, when the enemy comes with the false words, with the lies, when it comes around like he tempted Christ, when he tries to get you to do the things to make you to fail, to come back into his kingdom of darkness, it is the word of God that you know that comes alive. Is what you speak at that time that changes things around. The word of God is real. And that's what determines what we manifest in this season. Are we staying on the word of God? Are we tarrying on the word of God? Are we digging deep? If you have met a level in the word of God, if you feel like as if you are no longer growing, the limitation is you. The limitation is neither the word itself or where you are planted in Christ. Those two can grow and grow. The only limitation is the person. How much can you release yourself to God in this season? Father Lord, we thank you for your word. Because the Bible makes us to understand that the entrance of your word brings about light and it brings understanding to the simple. Lord, we pray for everyone who has heard this word, in whom a word has been planted in their hearts, Lord, that word, Lord, will bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, that for each and every one of us, even in this season, as we tarry on your word, that you open our eyes to your rhema word, that word that you have spoken to us for this time and for this season. In the name of Jesus, for those who are asking, who are seeking your face, oh Lord. Lord, let your word come alive. Lord, let your word, Lord, solve those situations. Let your word transform those situations. In the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, for those who may have ailments, who are not feeling fine, who are watching and saying, oh, can the word of the Lord also heal? Lord, we send your word of healing to them even today in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we send your word of deliverance to them in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, for those who are struggling and thinking about where they may pay their bills, Lord, we send your word to them even today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord. Lord, we pray for that grace for each and every one of us to be able to stay on your word, to be able to hold on to your word, to be able to tarry and labor to sit on your word. Father, Lord, even in this season, in the name of Jesus, and as every one of us go back to your word, as we make your word the anchor for our lives, as we start to interpret everything that is happening to us according to your word and not according to what they are saying in the news, not according to what the doctor said, not according to what our parents have said, Father, Lord, but according to your word, that even as we continue to interpret, Lord, our lives according to your word, that we become conformed to your image in the name of Jesus. That the spirit that rested on Christ, as was spoken in Isaiah 11, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord will rest on each and every one of us, even in this season, even as we dig in your word. In the name of Jesus, even as we hold on to the rhema word, as we hold on to Christ, even in this season, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, our desire is to stay in you, to abide in the vine. Help us in this season. For those whose hearts may be shaken, for those who have been tossed to and fro by the wind, Father, Lord, help us, Lord, to become planted in you, that we may experience, Lord, the fullness of your manifestation in this season. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. And I hope you are blessed. And see you on Sunday.